Welcome back to Greeks of the Globe. I'm your host, Andrea Nicola. This week, I chat to Dr. Theofanis, a cardiologist from Sao Paulo, Brazil, in the midst of the pandemic. Of a population of over 12.5 million people in Sao Paulo, they have had over 2.5 million active cases. Overnight, they had around 17,000 cases and about 1,300 deaths. Yeah, thank you again for chatting to us. I can imagine how busy you'd be in the middle of the pandemic in Brazil. I thought we would just start off with, if you could just tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in Brazil?
Yeah, after the Second World War, my father and my mother, we came more together because of the financial crisis of Greece. I came, me and my brother, we arrived on 10 November 1958. After some difficulties with the language, I learned Portuguese in 6 months. Then I entered in the Brazilian schools, and my father moved to the north of Brazil, to the Amazon, the state of Pará, the city of Belém, where he was commercially installed to stores. And then I went to the university and finished my medical school on 23 years old. Then I came back to São Paulo for graduation studies in the University of São Paulo in Heart Institute, the main institutions in cardiology. And I started to work. And then I went to the United States and Canada to complete my scholarship after graduate. Then I started to practice in hemodynamic studies, catheterization, and I was the first to make some cath lab studies in the main hospitals in São Paulo because we were very few, 3 or 4 of us, and I used to make these procedures in different hospitals as Albert Einstein Hospital and nowadays in Sírio-Libanês Hospital. That time I was 29 years when I was invited to be the director of these two institutions and started to practice cardiology and in my private office and intensive care units, pediatric cardiology, all over the fields of cardiology. And then I was to go to several meetings in the United States of the American Heart Association and American College of Cardiology. Then I went to be a professor in the University of São Paulo for 2 years. And I was a member of the main teams, surgical teams, of open heart surgery at that time. In 1979-1980, I went to Switzerland, and I met Dr. Andreas Grunzing, who introduced angioplasty in worldwide. You were very few from Brazil. We were 5 people from Brazil, and you were accepted to make the course. And for the first time, I saw angioplasty, balloon angioplasty. And when I came back to Brazil, I introduced me and my colleagues the same procedure in 4 different hospitals. This is a brief story.
I thought we could move on to right now, obviously, the pandemic. And when I first started speaking to you, you told me there had been a lot of deaths. What's it currently like in Brazil being a doctor?
We have a total of 381,000 deaths from the beginning of the pandemic. The mean deaths, 7 days, it's 2,700. And daily, we have about 3,000 deaths. It's too much people. And we have 27 million of vaccinated people and 12,000 recovered out of the hospitals, recovered people.
What's your role in the pandemic?
I'm a cardiologist, and the main care is with the colleagues of the intensive care units. And when they need a cardiac assistance, they call me, and I try to help them to make the protocols and the drugs and procedures that they need to be done. This is my part of the job that we're doing in the hospital. The infectologists are in the front. They are younger, about your age. And we have, nowadays I'm speaking to you, today we have 80 patients in the department, cardiac department, and to have 80 patients with the diagnosis of COVID-19, and the 60 patients in the intensive care unit, half of them are intubated.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a private hospital where I'm working nowadays. It's about 500 beds, and 2/3 of the hospital nowadays are reserved for COVID-19 patients. And the use of interventions and cardiac infarct, coronary disease, and cancer disease are posted aside because there is no place for them. And many people don't come to the hospital or the private offices because they are afraid to be contaminated, to be infected. So our hospital, it's one of the best hospitals in South America. Our mortality and morbidity are very, very low. There is no comparison with the public hospitals and public services. Brazil is a huge country. You must know it's about 8 million and some meters, square meters. And it's a continental country, the biggest country in South America. So it's very difficult to manage the situation. Although we have very many medical facilities, but our government, it was very, very difficult for them to have enough money to receive many vaccines from outside. Nowadays, we have two institutions like Butantan and Fiocruz. They are very impressive institutions. They are going to produce locally vaccines, CoronaVac, and AstraZeneca Oxford vaccines. It is too late our vaccination because population is about 22 million people. And that, as I said, we have 27 million of people already vaccinated. It's a very few.
Yeah. I've read a lot of criticism about the vaccine rollout in Brazil. A lot of people are saying it's been too slow. What's your opinion?
Everyone has the obligation to be vaccinated because it's the only way to fight this pandemic. All the vaccines we have are coming from India or Chinese. We are just producing locally by these two institutions I mentioned with much more vaccines nowadays. But it's too late because the pandemic started a year ago, in 1 year and a half. The results of the vaccines are making sense because there is no antiviral medicine or drugs. All the pharmaceuticals are trying to produce this antiviral, but none of them it's effective.
Yeah.
How is the situation in Melbourne or in Australia? I think you are much better, as I know.
Yeah, well, our situation currently is very good. We don't have any cases locally acquired in Australia currently.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. In Melbourne, we did about 6 month lockdown.
Uh-huh.
But we were the only state. The rest of Australia have been quite open. They only did the initial 2 month lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
And since have been quite open with very limited cases. The only cases we get are from hotel quarantine,
uh-huh,
which a few have come out, but Australia's tactic is to do like a 3-day lockdown or a 5-day lockdown when it does come out into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, we have been living like there's no virus currently.
Congratulations. And I think that this year it's going to be very bad for Brazil, for us, for all of us, because we don't have enough vaccines. But I think in 2022, we must reach the situation that you are.
Yeah, hopefully.
How many deaths did you have in Australia from the beginning of the pandemic.
The rest of Australia, not so much. We've had about 900 deaths in the whole of Australia.
And the population of Australia, how many people do you have in Australia?
We have about 26 million.
26 million? 10% of Brazilian population.
Yeah, we're quite small.
Yeah.
I think we're also, because we're surrounded by water, we're a lot more distant than
the rest of
the world, which is why we've been quite lucky.
You are isolated. Yes, I think so.
So I read an article at the end of March.
Yes.
From Brazil. It said that there, in the whole of Brazil, though, which is quite big, that there were 6,000 people who were waiting for an ICU bed.
Yeah.
What's your hospital like?
No, in my hospital, we don't have this kind of problem because it's a private hospital, and the insurances and the people must have to come to our hospital, it's too expensive. So the facilities we have in our hospital, as I told you, is there is no fault of nothing. We have everything. Very good personnel, very good organization, very good compliance. I had the COVID. Me personally, I have the disease on January this year, and I had the opportunity to stay 1 week in the hospital, and I was treated as a king. So I hadn't any complication. Even I didn't use oxygen in my treatment. We have protocols and the separate wards for suspected disease, for confirmed disease, intensive care units. You know, everybody who comes to the hospital has to make the PCR RT test. And it's an excellent hospital. So as I told you, it's one of the, you receive patients from all over the country and outside from Brazil. Now, not so many because of the difficulties of the airplanes, they cannot come as they used to come for any kind of treatment in my hospital. I have been working in this hospital in the last 30 years.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. Yes, I was graduated 55 years ago, I think so. I did.
I'm sure you didn't think that we would be in a pandemic right now.
Yeah, it's a very big surprise. It's everything new. The disease is very catastrophic, and the disease is very... We are learning every day something different, and they have been studying through the internet. So many papers, they are published in the main magazines, Lancet, England Journal of Medicine, you know, and we have exchanged opinions all over the country and all over different countries in the world, United States, Europe. We are in contact daily, and we have a lot of meetings, and I think that everybody knows what is happening in our field. I love what I do. I have spent most of my life in the hospitals and in my office. So as I come out, I wake up in the morning, I go to my office, and then I visit my patients in the hospital, and I come back in the end of the day.
How long are your working days? Like, from when you start to when you finish?
It depends. Depends of the, you know, of the severity of the disease I'm facing. I used to go about 8-9 o'clock, and I sometimes come back at 6 p.m. or 9 p.m. There is no time. It depends of the severity and the problems I face every day in the hospital and in my office.
I can imagine, especially now, day to day would be so different.
Yeah.
That's probably all of the COVID-related questions I really have. It's very different for, obviously, like, the reason why I wanted to interview you was, being in Australia, we haven't really experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been reading a lot about Brazil, and obviously there's been lots of deaths right now, so I thought it would be interesting to hear what it's been like, especially from you being in a hospital. So I thought I would maybe touch up on a little bit about the Greek community in Melbourne. Oh, not Melbourne, Brazil. I'm in Melbourne, you're in Brazil. So do you have a big community there?
No, it's not so big, because it was bigger, but many people came, returned to Greece because of very problems, sometimes financial problems and the government problems. And in Brazil, it's very unstable. Politically speaking, Brazil is very unstable. The Greek community, the ties we have with Greece are very tight, and many people went back to Brazil, to Greece, and we have the second and third generation. They stayed here, they studied here, they have families, children, and so sometimes they go back to Greece, and then they come to visit the new families they constituted. So I think it's about 10,000 or 20,000 Greeks in Brazil, mainly most of them in São Paulo. But as you know, if you go to any place here in Brazil, even in the small towns, in the small villages, you may find a Greek. It's up to our race to travel, to establish, to make families, to open stores. But the second and third, most of them are trading in different kind of merchandise. But the next generations, we have lawyers, we have doctors, and so on. Lawyers, as I told you.
I was impressed. It seems like they do a lot of things there. Like he told me about a Greek film festival, bouzouki classes. I think it'd be cool if we did bouzouki classes here in they probably do it in Melbourne. I'm from Brisbane, which I don't think we do it there.
Have you ever been in Brazil?
No. I've never been to Brazil. I haven't been many places, only really Greece and Cyprus. All right. Yeah, I think that's really all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, especially in the middle of a pandemic. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an honor to meet you and to speak with you and to contribute your interest. I'm very proud to be you're a Greek and Greek too. So we have to touch, the opportunity to speak all over the world with the diaspora. So it's a pleasure for me.
Greeks of the Globe is now a fortnightly podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on your favorite place you get your podcast from. We are also now on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Follow us at Greeks of the Globe.